I've told this story enough times that I'm vaguely sick of it, but I think there's something to be learned in how it's affected my life over the last 20 years, and especially to talk about the anniversary that's coming up and what I'm going to do about it. The project is called the Ultimate BBS List, and it's a perfect example of a weekend project getting entirely out of control. This is Jason Scott Talks His Way Out of It, a podcast about technology, history, and getting myself out of debt. Thanks to Daniel Boyd and the hundreds of other supporters on Patreon and elsewhere who have been supporting me and helping me get out of debt. The fundamental concept was simple, deceptively simple. I had textfiles.com. Tens of thousands of these things, and they had come from bulletin board systems. Bulletin board systems often advertised at the end of the text files and in separate lists how to call them, because you only had one way to find out about other bulletin boards, which was from the bulletin board you were on. And so these numbers were everywhere, on the text files, in the archives that held them, and those phone numbers were unique. Most bulletin boards had that single number, and so all you had to do was go there. So it seemed incredibly obvious to me just to take every number out of every text file I had, put it into one large list, overwrite or expand in places where there were multiple names or different years that we knew it existed, and eventually, someday, I'd have a list of every bulletin board system that ever was. I just remember starting that project 1 week, and within 10 days, I had something like 42,000 bulletin board systems listed. I did this mostly by using FidoNet node lists, which were extremely well formatted and could be read with a script. And because almost every bulletin board system at some point or another probably tried to be on the FidoNet, I figured I'd be able to reach them all. After that initial burst, I then moved into other lists that had good formatting. And ultimately, I was probably somewhere around 50,000 when Slashdot found out about the project. At that point, things exploded out of control. People started flooding me with updates, and I had to make a form to make sure I could spend the least amount of time on it. And, most importantly, they started to send me stories. Those stories, which were in paragraphs and came day and night from all over the country, talking about things that happened 5, 10, and 15 years ago, became the foundation for what became the BBS documentary. I recognized an entire realm of history was gone, and I just couldn't stand the idea of it disappearing completely. So if you've listened to me on podcasts or interviews or a whole other range of media, you've heard some format of that story. It's definitely something I always bring up when people ask me how the BBS documentary came about. The idea of spending years talking about researching and interviewing about bulletin board systems, it came from the energy of the BBS List project. I could tell there was untapped lore there. It was something that needed to be told again and again because nobody else was going to tell that story. But people don't listen to this podcast to be told things they already know. Let me instead go into detail about the unique and wondrous problems and victories of the BBS List. First, the current situation. Right now, there are 107,000 bulletin board systems listed at that site. That includes the names, the numbers, the software, the years known, and if I'm lucky, some sort of story or paragraph that somebody sent in to be added to each entry. I've got so many stories there where people did a Google search of their old name and they found the handle, the board it was on, and even a whole bunch of other people who had written in about that board and how it affected them. They were blown away, and they felt they needed to also stand up and tell me the story. This was, by the way, exactly why I did it. There's a theme running through the sites and the projects that I'm most proud of. The idea being that I was looking for something. I was looking for collections of information or walkthroughs or compendiums and analyzations and analysis about something. And when I didn't find it, I set into making exactly the kind of project or place that I would have liked to have seen. I can't think of a greater joy than wanting to find out about something, whether the history of cracking groups, or looking at ANSI art, or learning about bulletin board systems, and then stumbling onto a collection that somebody, somehow, some group, has built up into an unstoppable place that has everything I could want to know. There are sites of European cracking group paper, letters, and flyers. There are sites that go into exactly who wrote what demos for the Commodore 64, along with links between groups and timelines. Those are magical to me, and they're work I don't have to do. I wanted to know quantitatively how many boards there were, where they tended to be, when they thrived the most, what the names were like, what the handles were like, what different names did they have over time, and what kind of software was extremely popular. Maybe, if I had the time, integrating artifacts like ads and flyers and images from these bulletin board systems so you could see them in an even more informed way. The textfiles.com BBS list is done in a way, well, that's awful. It's done using a method of database storage written by somebody who had a real resistance to the idea of using database software. I'm not really a fan of pushing everything into some format and hoping that the format lives on. You've got to be around for decades and prove that nothing has changed about you for me to really trust you. ASCII's a good example. HTML, well, my jury's still out. So bbslist.textfiles.com is a combination of individual files, both text files and dot files and everything else you can imagine, in a huge directory structure living on a Unix box. And it is a nightmare. There are easily something like 70 or 80 scripts that I use to generate all the different files and keep track of them, doing all sorts of custom interactions. I'll give you an example. One of the hardest things to determine about bulletin board systems is exactly when they started and exactly when they ended. Nobody tends to put out a huge announcement that their board went down, and the ads for calling up this new bulletin board may be as simple as appearing in one bulletin board system list for the first time. You didn't send out invitations. You definitely didn't have parties, so it was just suddenly you're there, and then one day, suddenly you're gone. So I settled on knowing what years a bulletin board system appeared in different BBS lists. From that, my code looks for the earliest and the latest it appears and decides that's the time span. You'll have somebody in a BBS list in 1983. I might find you in 1985. And maybe in 1989, you're in one last BBS list that I went through. And from that, I now know your time span. I'll keep track of the fact that you were around in 1985, but I'm only going to track the first and last years on the site. Same thing for adding the name. Names changed constantly on bulletin board systems, as well as having them spelled wrong or differently or using abbreviations. If you were called North Star Systems, there's a pretty good chance that people would not have a space between North and Star, or make it N.Star, or Star, or whatever they wanted. And so you might have 10 names, which are just variations. And my system finds the duplicates, but misses a lot more. On the other hand, I love it when you have a board whose name used to be the Pirates Harbor, and now it's called Northeast Information Systems. They're fun to have. Code, while it was part of my life, was not my vocation. So all of it was written fully custom, using scripts cobbled together from whatever I could read out of instruction manuals, and it all, after a fashion, works. Primarily, it's shell scripts with a smattering of Perl. And when I started to give it more attention lately, I was struck again at how completely incomprehensible it is. On the other hand, it's possible to take the entire directory structure, package it up, compress it, and a person with reasonable amount of effort could probably convert it into another database sometime in the future. While nobody should comfortably use a term like future-proof, it is at least obliteration-resistant. So what's it been like that people will do a search for an old hacker handle they had or a board they called, and suddenly there's a match, and then they wander on to some site, and there, listed for them, is every bulletin board system they ever called from their area code, along with who ran it, for how long, and all sorts of other information they obviously thought they were never going to see again. Well, a lot of people write me letters. They thank me for doing the work, they tell me a little bit about themselves, and then, if I'm really lucky, they issue corrections, additions, or go through their own archives and send me lots of other information and lists. A small but memorable set of folks petulantly let me know where I'm wrong. And by that, I mean they will tell me that the Anthill BBS, a bulletin board system that existed in this town at this time, did not begin in 1983 and end in 1986. It started in 1982 and ended in 1988, thank you, and if you could make that fix, that would be really appreciated. I mean, I like the idea that they think that I was sitting with a pen and a pad, carefully running through the tapes, trying to find the exact information, and then my hand slipped, and instead of typing 1982, I typed 1983. I like the idea that they think a script didn't just pull the information out of a bunch of sources and then put them on there with absolutely no intervention or awareness by me. Okay, I'm comfortable with that sort of lore being attached to me. But I'll tell you, who's listening right now, not the case. Everything about the system is designed for the least amount of work that I have to do. It's the only way that I prevent burnout. One side effect of that, however, is that if lists and sources are somewhat difficult to go through, then the site just won't have it. And so, now, in contemporary time, with the 20th anniversary of this site coming down upon us, I thought it would be a good idea to renew the effort to capture every bulletin board system that there ever was. A lot's changed in 20 years. Because of my job at the archive, I've been able to be a source for people who are uploading all sorts of documentation, books, and magazines related to bulletin boards, including Boardwatch and BBS Magazine, not to mention all the other lists that were in magazines that maybe ran for one or two issues before they got out of the bulletin board system list business. I've got a few volunteers right now doing really the hardest part of this whole task. They're going through PDFs along with OCR text of these magazines, and anywhere a bulletin board system is mentioned, a number is given, a name is given, if we're lucky the SysOp and other information is given, they're putting it down into a spreadsheet, and I've written yet another script that goes through, pulls out the information from that spreadsheet, and puts it into the site. Within the first day, we had 350 new bulletin board systems that weren't listed before. I expect that number to skyrocket. You see, I don't really know, actually, how many bulletin board systems there ever were. I have 107,000 listed, but my theory is that we probably got up somewhere between 180,000 and 200,000. I'll run a betting pool to see who's closest, but I think that's as far as it got. I think that's all of the boards that ever existed through all of the 25 years that represent the heyday of bulletin boards. Along with all those uploads to the Internet Archive, it also means I can renew adding artifacts. I did actually add that feature. If you go over to a, well, frankly, small set of the boards on the list, you'll find actual digital materials related to that bulletin board system. You can see ads and title screens, whatever people sent me. It's going to expand, and it's going to be really fun to find. One of the more enjoyable 1980s collections you can paw through. We are unquestionably living in an era that benefited directly from the world that the bulletin board systems put together for us. The idea of people making communities and talking and meeting up and then coming up with efficient ways to transfer information and let other people know what to do, all of it eventually augmented by real-time communication and websites and all the technologies that have come since. What I wanted to create at that time, besides the experimental aspect, was a huge thank you. A thank you to all the people who sacrificed their machinery, their money, their time, for the pure idea of making a place, virtual as it was, for other minds to meet. To have a character to a place, to have it be creative and unusual or themed, and then, after spending all that money, all that time, sacrificing all that equipment, waiting patiently at that phone for the next exciting caller. This is Jason Scott Talks His Way Out of It. Thanks to Forrest Fuqua, James Bakoyanu, Mark Pilgrim, Scott McGrady, Scott Roseanne, Wayne Arthurton, and Joshua Stein, along with the hundreds of other people on Patreon and elsewhere who have been supporting me and helping me get out of debt. The fact that bbslist.textfiles.com has survived 20 years to me is the fundamental simplicity of it. I never tried to turn it into something it wasn't. There have been other projects to keep track of bulletin boards, other projects to create kind of histories and lore and have people enter things, and they usually fall apart or become dormant simply because they're complicated. As you add this environment involving PHP or Python and some sort of augmented forum software, it becomes incredibly hard to live unless the administrator pays a lot of attention to it. All you need is distraction or disinterest, and the site will rot and then fade and then disappear. The addition of new bulletin board systems for me became a ritual. When somebody filled out the various forms, it would create a set of commands that I then copy-pasted in. So I would choose one part of the week or even one part of the month, go do the copy-pasting while listening or watching something else, and then suddenly the site had a few updates. It was very easy to maintain. It was something that I could have done nothing with for 2 years, come back, and been able to catch up to where I was before. I'm not saying that philosophy works for everything. But in this case, for something as simple as a register of things that once were, well, it's functioned perfectly. I really don't have any intention of making the site more complicated. Everything I'm fixing up, everything I'm making improvements to, are features that were there in the first year. I'm not going to add some RSS feed for new bulletin boards. I'm not going to add social media to it. It's going to continue to be its own thing. Naturally, I invite anybody who wants to use the data set to create something from it if they think it would be fun, some sort of visualization or animation based on what's in there. But it's not going to be me. I'm way too busy. There's too much to do elsewhere. And fundamentally, just like so many other bulletin board systems in history, you gotta know when to say when.